Welcome to the Connect to Marriage podcast. I am Delia and I am your host for this episode. In each episode of the Connect to podcast, we'll be tackling questions that couples ask about marriage, communication, conflict, and so much more. We hope you will keep tuning in to learn with us as you grow closer, deeper, and stronger in your marriage. Marital problems bring a lot of people into therapy, and often it comes down to communication. Therapists say communication is the most common and damaging issue they face. In today's world, where everyone is busy, distracted, and focused on their own demands, truly connecting with your spouse has become harder than ever. Today, we're joined by Peter and Harriet Chung. They have been married for 40 years, and they'll be sharing their journey of keeping their relationship thriving through a strong foundation in communication. Welcome to the Connect 2 podcast, Peter and Harriet. And Hi. Thank you for joining us today.
Yeah. Hello.
Hi. Well, would you like to start us off by introducing yourselves to our listeners?
Hi, my name is Peter. Thank you, Focus on the Family, for inviting us today. I have with me my wife, Harriet. We have been married for 40 years. Come this May. I'm a professional wealth manager at this point in time and income investment lecturer. I'll let my wife introduce herself.
Okay, I'm Harriet. I'm working in a student care center for 6 hours after quitting my corporate job because I wanted to spend more time with the family. We have two children, one daughter and one son. They are in their 30s. And we have three grandchildren, one 4 years old, 2 years old, and 6 months.
Wow, your home must be bustling whenever they come over to visit.
Yes.
Lots of fun to have them around. Now, I'd love to hear more about your journey, having been married for 40 years. It's something to celebrate and to rejoice. Through your journey together, what is a season or an incident in your marriage that you feel has shaped your marriage? And why does it stand out to you?
Well, one of the things that we have experienced is our first 7 years. As many people say, there's a 7 year each, but ours was a 7 year conflict resolution year. We had so much differences that we couldn't resolve ourselves. We had to have a mentor to intervene to help us in our marriage. And that was a good watershed time because at that time, when our children were still young, we found that there was so much differences in managing children because of our different backgrounds. And that time when we had a girl and a boy, we come from such a diverse background in terms of how to handle our children's sicknesses. It has become such a chore for us every day just to make sure that the children are well, the children are well taken care of. Maybe I like my wife to describe those times when we had serious conflict situations.
I remember when our children were sick, we had so much conflict in how to manage their sickness. Because Peter is a more anxious person, and I'm a calmer person. So whenever the child is sick, he will say, go to the doctor. But then I'll say, oh, let's wait for a while. Maybe we self-medicate. So that's where the differences come in. But later on, we decided that enough of these fights. So we said the solution was to come to the middle. So when the child is sick, I'll say, okay, maybe we'll just observe for 1 day and then after that we'll go to the doctor. And then Peter will be more relaxed and say, yes, let's do that.
So that's one of the differences that we had. What about disciplining? We found ourselves having a different disciplinary styles. And therefore, we came to a point where we had to sit down and say to ourselves that as husband and wife, we would always talk to the child without the other child knowing so that we can discipline and talk to the child singly and tell the child exactly what's wrong. Our mentor taught us that when we are angry with a child, sometimes what we do is that we tend to lash our anger on the child. But by that time, the child would cause cry. We would hug the child and tell the child exactly what's wrong, why a child is being disciplined. So in that way, we have come to an agreement as to how to discipline the child. But of course, when it comes to teenage years, it's a different story.
During their teenage years, we talk to them more often. We try to understand their mindset because we don't want this generation gap. But there's one thing that we learn in our marriage. Communication is very crucial, even between our children and between us, husband and wife. So between Peter and myself, we always say that, okay, when we have something we are not happy with, we will complain instead of criticize. Because when you complain, you talk about the issue at hand. But when you criticize, you're actually attacking the person. You shift the blame to the other person. So we have to be very intentional about complaining instead of criticizing.
That's so interesting, because we often think that complaining in itself is something that we would also avoid, right? But I guess in the context of the safe environment to allow each other to air our grouses without personal attacks, I'd like to take one step back and find out, you know, most couples actually find it difficult to seek help. When you faced the challenges in your first 7 years, you actually took the initiative to reach out for help, even being open to hear the counsel and the guidance of another couple who has gone a few years ahead of you, right? What led you to even be open to receive support from an external, someone outside your family?
The early years of marriage are filled with unique challenges and opportunities for growth. What happens after saying, I do? At the Connect to Just Married workshop, you will gain practical tools to work through differences and conflicts and learn ways to keep the romance alive. If you have been married for 5 years or less, this workshop is for you. Get more information at www.family.org.sg/C2JustMarried.
I think one of the key things we were willing to receive outside help was because we came to a point where we were not talking sense to each other. We were actually fighting and shouting at each other with regards to how we do things. So we decided that, hey, this is not going to be good to carry on for the rest of our married life. So if we want to have a stable married life, we better go and seek counsel and try to talk to somebody who has more experience than us and who actually can calm us down in terms of helping us to see each other's point of view.
Yeah.
I think that was good.
Yeah. Promise each other before marriage that there's no back door. That means divorce. We have to throw this word out of the window and we should never go that way.
Thank you for sharing that. I think that's really important perspective. Sometimes when couples are caught in a cycle of just a lot of arguments and frustration in each other, actually having an external party coming in to share objectively, not in terms of deciding who is right or wrong, but even offering perspective, might actually help to give the couple a form of a breakthrough, a new pathway to create together. It's also in recognizing that the couple is here to journey together. So many times when we are in a point of conflict, it's my view, your view, your solution, my solution. Yes. But actually in marriage, we are seeking towards us together path, a path that the both of you will take together. And I'm just wondering, you know, when you went through those moments of conflicts, what do you think these differences in opinions or perspectives is revealing about yourselves?
Well, it reveals our differences in how we were brought up during those years when we were a child in our home. Everyone comes from a different background. So I grew up in a very, probably you may say, a conservative home. My father was absent most of the time. My mother spoils me as a child. So I have my own ways. So I demand my own ways. And I find that when we got married, that's something, again, that is different from Harriet, because Harriet was brought up in a different set of backgrounds, maybe.
Yeah, I was brought up in a more stable home. Although my father died when I was 6 years old, but my mother was a very strong character. She did a lot of things for us, for me and my brother. And she also taught me, you know, how to be strong in hard times and also how to carry myself. So I grew up to be very independent and confident. So when I married Peter, I found out that, wow, we both have our strong sides and also our softer sides as well.
So therefore, we become very confrontational to each other. We often feel that the only way to solve things is to talk, sometimes talk loudly, you know, to each other. So our mentor taught us something. We started our marriage well in terms of dating, but we didn't know how to handle our date. I think during the date, our mentor taught us how to actually present differences and talk about it and then communicate, not in terms of who is right and who is wrong, but communicate in terms of solutions and, you know, attacking the problem that we see, the issue that we see, and then solve it from there and who is to do what. That became a very great help for us, especially during the dates. We talk about the future, we talk about handling issues even before they come up. So that helped us to resolve many roadblocks after the seventh year.
Yeah. Peter was very good because at one point, you know, he decided that he will lay down his right to be right. So it was a very difficult thing to do, especially for me, but he always take the first step.
Yeah, actually, I was curious to find out, like, what are some practical handles that you can suggest to our listeners, right, when they are wanting to address conflict with their spouse? Is there any way that they can phrase their statements or in the way that they posture themselves to talk without damaging trust or a sense of openness, safety in their communication?
I would say in our case, because we are both confrontational, so we will always call a timeout. Then we will say that, why don't we meet like 24 hours later or 48 hours later? Because we are not people who can just cool down, you know, at that point in time. But we just need time to just be alone and then after that come back and talk. So, well, our conflict styles are the same. Really, there are 5 conflict styles. One is competing. Number 2 is accommodating. Number 3 is avoiding. Number 4 is compromising. And number 5 is collaborating. So actually, we were at a stage where we couldn't even go to, you know, compromising. So because our styles are very conflicting, then the approach that we take actually destroys the value of relationship. It becomes very low. Then our own goal, you know, is high. So if a person who is very accommodating, even withdraw, you know, that person will lose. He will not satisfy his own goal, but the value to the relationship he brings is high. So then for us, because we are both competing and confrontational, we actually do not come to a solution. So what we did was that later on, we decided that we will compromise. So compromise is better. We both come to a middle ground and then we say, okay, in the end, I win some, you win some. Then gradually, when the years go by, then we move on to collaborating. So collaborating for our own goal is high and for the value of the relationship is also high because we tell ourselves that we shouldn't give up our self-interest, but we should dig further into the matter and then to see what are the underlying issues surrounding that matter. Mm. And then we find solutions to it. We also test our own assumptions, whether they are right, because most of the time, couples always assume because they don't communicate. And then I will try to understand Peter's view and he will try to understand mine. So in the end, both of us win in this marriage.
So there are other things like, for example, we try not to use the word you. We try not to use the word never. We always try always to put ourselves in a position where we want to find out what is going on with the other party. So I say, I feel upset. I want to know what exactly you have done that caused this whole thing. So we will talk about the issue and not the person. Mm. So we try to avoid the issue of attacking the person, making sure that we are seeing the problem and finding out what are the solutions.
And when you had to call for a timeout, I suppose for that 24-hour period of time, what was the interaction like between the two of you?
We try never to talk in front of the children. Mm. Quarrel in front of the children. We try our best.
It's like, always in the bedroom.
Yeah, it's always in the bedroom. Mm. Or we go outside the date when we talk about it. And the time out is usually alone between myself and my wife.
So in between, when you're still cooling down, the interaction between husband and wife still remains cordial and normal.
Yes.
But
yes,
you address the issue when you have the time together.
Yes.
Yes.
Wonderful. Well, in each podcast, we address a frequently asked question that couples have about marriage. And today's question comes from a wife. She says, my spouse and I often misunderstand each other, even during simple conversations. How can we build better communication skills so that we feel heard instead of defensive?
Perhaps one suggested way is to ask for clarification and then also repeat your spouse's requests for clarity's sake, before even trying to answer a question or going further. Otherwise, you solve the disagreements to have a dialogue on the agreed solution if the problem occurs again. And I think most importantly, my advice is choose the right moment. Guys have the right moment. I want to tell the ladies, please don't talk to the guys about 11 o'clock when they are going to sleep. Don't talk to the guys when they are hungry because they can't answer you. Don't talk to the guys when they just came back from work because they are tired. And probably their spirit is still in the office, although the flesh is at home. I would say that make an appointment with them. Guys work differently. They are very structured. So if you give them a time, meet at 8 p.m. tonight after your bath or whatever, sit down and talk for an hour. That will be a good time. Never approach the subject from the perspective that you want to get it done that night itself at 11 or 12 midnight because the guy is too tired. He's obviously not able to answer you, or he will give you yes, yes, yes. So that's not a good way to solve the problem. I think the best is really to choose a time when both spouses are at the best position to talk about the issue.
That's so important, yeah, because I think these are day-to-day practices that we can bring into our marriages, because cultivating communication skills is something that we do on a daily basis, and over time, it will actually show our act of kindness towards one another. Mm. Well, thank you, Peter and Harriet, for providing so many insights into what is building a strong foundation in communication. Now, before you go, do you have any other thoughts or tips that you'd like to share?
One of the things that we want to encourage you to do is to have the same bed and same dream. I read in a business book about people going to China to form businesses. The difference is that they went into it thinking that they will be going there to form a business with a joint venture partner, having a lot of agendas. If you do that with your married spouse, you will find that that's not going to work. But if you go and marry your spouse thinking that you will have the same bed, building the same dreams together, you will succeed in your marriage for a long, long time to come.
So building a life together instead of coming in with our own expectations and what we want out of it. Well, thank you so much, Peter and Harriet. In each podcast, we end off with a couple challenge for couples to do with each other. And if you're listening to this podcast with your spouse, here's your challenge for this week. Set aside 15 minutes this week to do a check-in with your spouse. You can ask your spouse what's something that challenges you right now. And next, ask what's one way you hope for me to support you better. We're so glad that you've tuned in with us. And if today's conversation encouraged you, we'd love for you to share this podcast with a friend who might benefit from it. Thank you for listening in. And remember, with some intentional effort, you can cultivate a strong marriage that lasts through the different seasons of life.